We're going to be in 2 Timothy, that first chapter. So if you go ahead and find that, we will start off there. What I've titled tonight's message is Three Remembers and One Reminder. Three times in the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at, Paul says to Timothy, I remembered this. I was reminded of this. I remembered this. And then one time he says, and I want you to remember something. So we're going to go through verses 1 through 7 of 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll go ahead and read that now and then pray. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ, to Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he's talking about Timothy's tears for Paul's situation. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your ever living word. It speaks to us. And I just thank you for the way that you opened up the scriptures to me this afternoon as I studied. I thank you for your word. I thank you for Paul, his influence, his mentorship. I thank you for Timothy and his testimony to young men everywhere of what you can do in lives. Thank you so much. Guide us through this word. In your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Three remembers, one reminder. And it was funny, if you go back and look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, this is what it says again. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. That struck me the very minute I read it. And if you want to, flip back over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's listen to how he talks to Timothy in that greeting in verses 12 through 13, and listen for the difference. And in this he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, whom was before a blasphemer, he's talking about himself, a persecutor and an injurer. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in disbelief. What a difference in the way that he starts off these two letters. In one, he's saying, I served out of my conscience with my forefathers. In the other one, he's being reminded that he was a blasphemer, an injurer. And there's a very big difference in the two places that Paul was at in his life. And these do not contradict each other. In 1 Timothy, he was writing from Macedonia, more than likely. And he had just come out of his first Roman prison release. And it's almost as the Spirit of God was working on his heart and showing him that through the grace that is Jesus Christ, he has brought Paul from this blasphemer, this injurer, to what he's doing today. And that's what's ever mindful in Paul's head while he's writing these letters. He's like, by the grace of God, I am a different person. I was a blasphemer. I was an injurer. I was a persecutor. And that's what God was using to motivate Paul at that time. Then we flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 3. And what we're seeing here is a Paul that is in a dungeon. He's lonely. They're allowing him to write, but that's pretty much it. And he is coming to the end of his life. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to Paul and comforting him. And he's reminding him, you have served from the conscience of your forefathers. You have served me honorably. Do you see how the Spirit works in those two different situations? The Spirit of God is comforting Paul in his time of loneliness, in his time of grief that he can't get out to all of his guys that he's taught, that he's loved. And then we see the difference from what it was. God uses the real examples in our life. And it's God, I believe, that is in charge of Paul's memory at this point. He's not just having random flashbacks of a life gone by. Paul is being guided by the Holy Spirit to remember things that are good and that are comforting and that are going to see him through this next and last and final part of his life. So that's the Holy Spirit working in him. And he mentions these three remembrances. God is good in that area. He comforts us and he goads us along when we need it, and he comforts us. If you look over at verse 6, that's where we're going to head to next. And it says, "And so, out of that, he reminds Timothy." He talked about in those first 5 verses all the things that he remembered. "I remember how good your grandmother and mother were. I remember the time that I met you. I remember to pray for you all the time." Those are the 3 remembrances that Paul has. And those are guided by the Spirit. And now he says, "And I want to remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift that is in you." And this is a letter to Timothy. And his gifts are different from your gifts and my gifts. This is Paul talking to Timothy under the guidance of the Holy Spirit about his gifts. Specifically, we're going to look at what those are. But what we can take from this is how God reminds us of our gifts. We're going to talk a little bit how Timothy's gifts were in administration. Mine are not. Mr. Sonny's gifts are in administration. Brad's gifts are. That ain't me. Me and numbers, we don't get along so well. But Timothy's was administration. And while we look at that, we can look at the way God dealt with his gift. Now, what was Timothy's ministry at this time? At this point, in 2 Timothy, Timothy had to function in an environment of fear. And for instance, look at what's happened to his spiritual daddy. Paul was writing from a dungeon. There is still persecution going on. There's still problems, and people are still after Christians in a way. There's heresy. There's all kinds of odd beliefs popping up about Jesus, about what you have to do to become a Christian, about how Christians were considered blood drinkers at this time period because the word got out about their communion celebration, about how they took the wine and the bread, and they were considered a cult at some points. And there's just all kinds of miscommunication going on about Christians. And people were challenging Timothy's leadership still to this time when they wrote it, because he started at such a young age and he was so much younger than all of the other men that were Christians that were in there. So he's in a time of fear. And in this time, he is needed by God to be God's administrator of the church. And the thing we're going to see is that these gifts were in Timothy from the very beginning. From birth, he had these gifts of administration. He was gifted, and God had a purpose for his life, and he was there. So, the next thing that I want to talk about is with these gifts, they're there from the beginning, and they only need to be stirred up. That's the actual words that Paul uses. And these gifts that each individual has, each Christian is given, they're what satisfies the human soul in Jesus. These things are what satisfies. And Paul is going to remind him of that and to count his gifts that God has given him. I became very aware of the fact that the gifts that God gives us from birth are what really satisfies us. In a way that I hadn't looked at it before, probably about, I'd say almost 2 years ago now. I was saving up just a little bit of money at a time to purchase a motorcycle. My brother has one. A lot of people in our family have one, and I really wanted one. And if you follow the life and times of Caleb Jones, I get in a lot of car accidents. They're not my fault. A barrel run out in front of my car. True story. Total my truck. And I've been in the last year. I've been rear-ended twice, just out of nowhere. And my wife, loving me as she does, she said, "I don't think you should get a motorcycle." And I was like, "Man, I'm never going to get a motorcycle. It's never going to happen." And I was pretty pouty about it for a while. And we were doing money to pay off debt and all this kind of stuff. And it just was looking like it wasn't going to happen. I was like, "Man, I really want a motorcycle. It's just really..." And, you know, I put on a good face, but on the inside, I was really wanting one. And then God started talking to me. And he says, "What's going on with you right now is that you're trying to purchase satisfaction in a way that I don't have planned for you." And I was like, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he says, "There are things I have given you that you've had since birth that are your talents, and they are the things that satisfy you the most. And at this moment, you're not using them." And what he was talking about was music. There are 2 things that I've found in my life at this point that really bring me satisfaction. One is getting to teach the Word of God. I love it. I really do. The other thing is worship and music and being a part of that. And at that time, I wasn't doing anything. I had a guitar that was sitting in somewhere, and I was like, I haven't progressed in the last couple years. I haven't gotten any more talented at playing this thing. it might be just time to put it up under the bed and give it to one of my kids or something. But God said, you need to break that out. You need to work on that. That is a gift I've given you from birth. And I did, and I took the little bit of money I had set aside for the motorcycle, and I bought another guitar, or one that I didn't have that was similar. Not 6 months later, we started doing worship with the youth. Over the last summer, I got to work with my two brothers and one of my brother's wife, and we got to lead worship for an entire week at camp for our youth. We got to be the worship team for that. And then another church asked me to come in for 4 days, and Luke and Joshua and I, my two brothers and Luke's wife, we got to do it again. And it just, God keeps opening up these different opportunities for me to do worship, something that is very satisfying to me, that means so much to me. And then as of late, he's blessed me with four other guys to play music with. We've written some songs, and right now we're not playing them for anybody, but when we get together to play those songs, it's worship. It's all about Jesus, and it just satisfies completely. And I understand that. And what Paul's telling Timothy is, you have things inside of you that satisfy completely. You have things that you need to stir back up, because they haven't gone out. You need to stir them back up. So let's look at how that looks. It says again in verse 6. Oh, did I skip a part? Yes, I did. Where did I go to? There we go. He says you need to rekindle the embers of the dying fire and remember that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Now, most commentators say that Timothy's gifts were the gifts of administration. And in chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, if you can turn there if you want, but I'll read them very quickly. There's a list that Paul gives to Timothy for his works, and they sound very administrative. And this is what it says in chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word, be instant in season and out. And that kind of struck home today. Be ready for it. Be ready at any time. Be ready in season, be ready out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their eyes, their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, and do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. A friend of mine named Zach just recently got hired as a church administrator, and he looks at this passage of Scripture, we were talking about it just the other day, as something that is very prevalent to today. His job as an administrator of his church is to make sure that the people have good, solid material. They have a great pastor who preaches, but his job is also to help make sure that they hear stuff that is edifying, that is doctrinally sound. And he because of where media is today, with you can download any preacher in the world from anywhere, they're having to combat a lot of doctrine that goes on, because people will find somebody that they really like, that scratches that one part of their brain that they really dig, and then they'll just buy into everything else that guy's got going on. So they're having to work at this today just as much as in the first century as maybe Timothy was with that group of people. And then it says, they'll turn away, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. And this next part is kind of interesting. It says, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A lot of the commentators believe that Timothy wasn't necessarily gifted in evangelism. His gift was in administration. That was what he needed to stir back up, that love for the people, that desire to see them move and grow and learn. And Paul said, and take those other gifts that might not be as strong in you and work on those as well. And that's what he's telling him about evangelism here. And then Paul urges him to do that. Do the work of the evangelism. This might not be your strong point, but this is also something you need to work on. There are things in our lives that aren't our strong points. They're not our passions. They're not the things that grab us and pull us out of bed in the morning, but we work on them. We add them up and we work on those things. The next thing that we're going to look at is in verse 6 again, and it's talking about these hands. And this is probably my favorite part of the passage. We'll read from verse 6. Actually, let's back up to verse 5 so we can get the full grasp of it. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee, that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gifts of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Let's talk about this for a little bit. The putting on of my hands. This is what Paul said to Timothy. I want you to remember the time that I put my hands on you. This is what was going on here. The gift received by Timothy was not the gift to administer, to run a church, to be that pastor, that faithful shepherd. The gift that was given to Timothy at this time was the proclamation of Paul of the transfer of authority. In front of all of those people, everything that was going on, Paul set his hands on Timothy and he said to everybody around, "This is Timothy. He's going to be your pastor. He's going to be your leader." And that was the gift that Paul gave to Timothy by the laying on of hands. It was a symbol of the time when Timothy was put aside for a special work by God. And this is something that in these verses that I really connect with. We, after Dad became a Christian, we started going to Calvary Baptist Church. Brother David was the pastor. 6 years old, I was moved during a service. I can't tell you anything of what was preached on, but I knew that my dad was a Christian, my mom was a Christian, some of my favorite people were Christians. I wanted to be a Christian too. So I got up, and Paul Steinbach, actually, I think I remember Paul getting up and walking down just to kneel and pray at the altar. And I was like, I'm going too. So I went down there. A wonderful lady led me through the scriptures, and I was 6 years old. And from then up until about the time I was 18, I went back and forth a little bit. I think is all a lot of young people do when they become a Christian that early with, did I become a Christian? Did that really work out? Was that what was really going on? Right before my senior year of high school, we went on a mission trip to the Bahamas. And we did VBS and some maintenance for some stuff. And we had our nightly services every night. And after one of those nightly services, we would always break up into groups and we would pray. And right in the middle of praying, I broke down. Just everything that had been going on, all the ministry that we'd been doing, everything that was going on. And I remember in the middle of my prayer saying, "God, I feel like I'm talking to you for the very first time." And the men who were around me knew exactly what to do. They were older guys, strong Christians. Some of them who had only been saved a couple years at that point, but they were strong in the faith. And knowing what was going on at that time, they sensed God's calling on my life. And at that moment, they put their hands on me and they set me aside. They took that time. And they did it one more time after that later on. But it was at that time that what I tell people when I tell my testimony is I may have gone back and forth about my faith and about my real commitment to Jesus Christ before that. But from that time on, when I was 18, I absolutely knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was a Christian. I knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I knew that God had a plan and a purpose for my life. And I was set aside at that time. And I just remember that so vividly. But it wasn't anything that had to do with those guys praying for me. It was all about the change that was going on here. That was going on inside of my heart that was just wrenching me to pieces. And I'll never forget that time. There's a Latin word. This laying on of hands by Paul and Timothy, it was not ex opera, operetto, which means from the work performed. That's not how it was. There was nothing special about Paul's laying on his hands on Timothy other than the fact that he was showing everybody this man is set aside and it's coming out of his heart already. You've seen it. Paul could look around at everybody in the congregation and say, "You know what talents are in this guy, but under my authority as an apostle, we're going to set him aside." And it's kind of like the difference between taking communion and observing communion, I think is the best way I could come up to look at it. There is nothing about taking of communion that is going to change a person. And that's why we're very careful to word it as we're observing communion, because it's an observance of that thing that is inside of you, of what's going on right there in your heart. And as a Christian, it's a proclamation, just as it was when Paul laid his hands on Timothy, when we do that communion of this is, we're doing this in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did for us. It's a proclamation, and it's nothing done by the actual works of it. And what we do during that time, this is what I thought was so neat about it. In that time of communion, we say, do this in remembrance. And that's what Paul's all about here at the beginning of this. He knows his life is coming to an end. And he's telling Timothy, I remember this. It brings me comfort. I remember this. The Holy Spirit gave me this so it would give me comfort. I remember this. And I want you to remember some things too. And that's just Paul. He's looking out for his people, even when he's the one in the dire circumstances. And it's just such a beautiful thing. There's another little twist with the text that I noticed that I thought was interesting, and it's definitely worth pointing out. Just as we don't command communion, Paul never commanded Timothy to stir up the gifts, because he didn't have to. He says, I encourage you to stir up the gifts. When you go back into that original language, that's what it's looking at. Those are what his words mean. I want to remind you to stir up those gifts. Not, you got to stir up these gifts, man. You got to get on it. You got to use that administration. You got to lord over these people. You got to get things under control. It was, you got to stir up those gifts that are already in you, the things that have been with you since birth. You have to bring them out. And he simply reminds him of that. The last thing that I want to talk about is just three final reminders about this text that I pulled from it just as I studied. One is obviously remember those things that God has given you that satisfy you. Remember those ministries that you've been a part of that you loved, that you just felt a deep drawing satisfaction from. You knew that you were doing work that honored God. Remember those. Stir them back up. And see, Timothy wasn't on hiatus. He was doing the work of God at this time, but he might have been getting a little burnt down. He might have been just having one of those days. And then this letter from Paul shows up, and it's perfect timing. And Timothy reads it, he shares it with the congregation, passes it on to other churches. And I just have this feeling that every time it was read, there was somebody that needed to hear that. Just as tonight, as we're reading it, well over 2,000 years later, somebody needs to hear to rekindle those passions that God has given you that really satisfy, that he's given you to work with. Rekindle them. Work on them. How does that work? It's different for every person. But ask God to remind you what those passions are in your heart, those things that need to be stirred back up. Because the fire wasn't out. It was still going. Paul said, stir that thing up. Stoke it up. Make it huge. You know, big fire. Do this. And your light will be a beacon to everybody else around you as you lead this church. Stir that thing up. Stoke it up. And the third is to remember the men and women who have proclaimed good things in your life, who maybe came to you and encouraged you in a time of need or guided you at some point. And lucky enough for me, when I started thinking about this, I was able to send a letter to one of the guys who was there at that moment. And I did this about 6 months ago. And it was just an email address that was from his business. And I just sent it to him. And I was like, I really want to just tell you thank you for being there at that time and all the things that you've spoken into my life and the things that you guided me with. And it really blessed his heart more than I guess I thought it would. But remember those people who have spoken into your life. And you know that Timothy was doing that with Paul. You know that the tears that it talks about in the beginning were Timothy's tears for Paul's situation. And it was just a different time back then. Men could cry openly. It was really good. Showing emotion was an everyday part of life. It was slightly dramatic at points. Like you've read portions of scripture where it talks about ripping the clothes and everything. they were very dramatic in the way that they showed their emotions. They let everything out. And Timothy loved Paul. Probably wrote to Paul a bunch. We don't get those letters, but he probably wrote to Paul wherever he was at and took care of him and thought about him and remembered to pray for Paul as well. And remember the people who proclaim good things into your life and those believers and those leaders and those mentors who helped give you authority. Because that's what it really does. When you hear, as a person, when you hear that you're doing something well, somebody has just given you a little bit of authority, a confidence that you might not have had before. You have just enabled somebody to do more work for Jesus. And some of you guys are specifically gifted as encouragers, as exhorters. And thank God there's a lot of you guys here. You do wonderful work. Keep that up. Three remembers that were given to Paul by the Holy Spirit to guide him through this rough time in his life. One reminder for his for his son in the faith and his pupil, Timothy. Let's close with that. Father God, thank you for the relationship between Paul and Timothy. Thank you so much how your Spirit just moves through your written word. It's so long after this was written down that you are still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we're your children. I thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for what it did in Paul's life, how it changed him, and I thank you for the work that it did in my own. We love you so much, and we just pray that as we go through this next time, that you would remind us to stir up our passions for you, and that you would remind us to thank and pray for the people in our lives who have meant so much to us, and also help us to take that role of Paul to exhort others, to give them that authority to be confident in your word. In your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen.